Welcome to Everyday Perspectives, a sacred space where I share an energetic approach to very human experiences. I'm Erin Panzarella, and I've been on an active spiritual journey since hitting an intense rock bottom 10 years ago. On this podcast, I share insight to modalities that help me shift from a victim mindset into co-creation with the universe. I connect to my channeling gifts and the Akashic Records to accept, heal, and shift everyday perspectives. If you are ready to step into your power and learn tools that can change your life, you are in the right place. I'm so grateful you found your way here. Let's get into today's episode. I am truly the most excited to be welcoming you to my first guest episode being released in 2022. I haven't done a guest episode in a very long time. I have a backlog of around, I think, 8 or 9. So this is so exciting to be having this one release. It is with Mahima, Europe's number one self-mastery mentor, mindset trainer, international best-selling author, and award-winning speaker and founder of the Mahima Mindset. This conversation quite literally just gave life back to me. I was just re-listening to it, and I just wrote down pages of notes, pages of quotes, so much beautiful information. This heart-centered conversation is talking about how you create your own reality. We talk about the power of meditation, how you are truly special, and that you're so much more than what you know. We talk about how we repeat behavior from childhood, the importance of being present, recognizing your individual power, free will, and personal responsibility, and just so much more. I am truly just so grateful to be connected with Mahima, and I hope that you will join Mahima's 21-day meditation challenge. I put the link in the show notes and all the ways to connect with Mahima in the show notes as well, because you're definitely going to want to. So let's get into today's guest episode.
My beautiful Mahima, I'm so excited to have you here, and just thank you for connecting, being here, and I just am so excited for this conversation.
Me too, Erin. Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to dive deeper into the juicy topics, and just want to, you know, honor you for being out there, putting yourself out there and building your voice and, you know, just helping others to find their own truth and power. It's really not always easy. I know, being a somebody myself as well, that is there to hold space and support others. So I just really want to honor you for the work you're doing, and thank you for, doing this and putting yourself out there. Thank you.
I'm fully receiving that. Thank you so much, because at times it's hard to like receive someone else's just beautiful words towards you. So I truly and deeply am open to receive that. And I thank you so much for it.
Thank you.
Before we get started into the conversation, I always just take a little bit of time to tune into the body, tune into the breath. And I also open up the space just for my guides to come in. It's just something that helps me ground and connect. So if you want to join me in closing down the eyes.
Beautiful. Anyone? Yes, let's do it. I love that. Oh, great way to start a conversation.
Yeah. And also, if anyone is listening, they want to take some time to close down the eyes as well. And just tune into the body. For me, that means watching the breath. Watching the inhales and the exhales. Even if there's any spaces within the body that don't feel freely flowing, that's okay. That's how it's supposed to be in this moment. Breathing in and breathing out. And just to clear some of the energy, we're going to take 3 deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. We'll do the first one together, and then you can do the other 2 at your own pace. And when you're done, returning back to that natural breath. So first one, breathing in through the nose and letting it out the mouth. Two more times at your own pace. And if you want to keep the eyes closed still while I open up the space, masters, teachers, loved ones, guardians of the light, I ask you to come through with whatever messages want to come through today. I am so grateful for you and for your messages. I ask that any messages that come through kindly, clearly, and in highest good of all who are listening. Thank you so much for connecting me and Mahima for this conversation. I know that there are no coincidences, and we are both exactly where we are supposed to be. I thank you for your guidance. I thank you for your wisdom. I am open and I am grateful. And if you just want to join me for one more deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth, breathing in and letting it go. Whenever you're ready, go ahead and open up the eyes, meeting yourself back into the space.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. What a beautiful way to open the space for a deeper conversation about life, love, power, learning, growth.
Yeah. Oh my God. You're so welcome. My hands have been in my heart the entire time, which is not something that typically happens when I open up the space. So I truly know it's a reflection of you and your energy. Just very heart-centered. Before I even start my questions, I want to get into that because it just feels so powerful and you really feel like you operate from a heart space. Does it resonate for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have been playing around because I call myself a self-mastery mentor. And recently I've been sort of playing around with, should I actually be a self-love guru? Does that sound a lot more like, you know, what I really want to be saying? So self-love is the fundamental piece of the work that I do with people. And it's understanding self in the most depths that one can understand self, right? A lot of us have, including myself, I was like that before I had any kind of bigger awakening, a limited perception of the word self, right? And certainly a limited perception of the word love. So self-love is not something that society is a fan of, if I can put it that way, right? I used to be told from my grandmother and aunt and that, you think you think you're big shot, you think you're special. If you showed any kind of self appreciation or any kind of like value yourself or like yourself or love yourself, it wasn't seen as something positive, right? So I believe that this is not just myself, but many people, we even talk about it. Like, look at her, look at her. She likes herself so much. She's so full of herself, right? So very arrogant. And so, unfortunately, self-love has got misguided opinions, which move to more towards, people thinking about arrogant people or not so nice people or selfish people, when in fact, self-love is the foundation for a happy, healthy life.
Definitely. It's so interesting that you're bringing it up because I think about that often. It's just like that was really a bad thing to think that you're special. Like it's an insult. And now I'm just like, I want to think I'm special, like I want to lean into that more. So I'm very curious to know about like what the transition was like for you. Did you feel a sense of specialness growing up, and then that was like kind of like beaten out of you, and then you had to reclaim it, or was it something that you always knew and like leaned into more as you got older?
That's such a great question. So let's just unpack being special for a second. We are special, Erin, because there's no other Erin on this planet that's you. She might have the same name, but there's no other. You're unique. So if that doesn't make you special, I don't know what the hell does, right? So we're all special. We're unique, one of a kind. One in 8 billion or whatever it is, at least that we know of, in this galaxy, right? There could be more planets out there with more humans on it. Who knows, right? So we are definitely special. So I think to not think that you're special would go against your true the true the truth. Yeah. So the truth is that every single person is a unique miracle. So I was different from my sister. That's how I would put it, right? So my sister showed more signs of being quiet and not so chatty, not so bold. I was more loud. Apparently, I was more cheeky. I had more fire in my belly. And that wasn't good for me growing up because my grandmother, which I mostly lived with, wanted me to be like my sister, yeah, because my sister was more scared. So if my grandmother said to my sister, "Sit down and keep quiet," that would be it. She didn't need to repeat herself a second or third time. Whereas me, I might be a bit more like, "Yeah, well, maybe I'll try to get away with a little more," right? So that was what happened, and so I got into trouble a lot, and I have a very I would say dark childhood because of the fact that I was physically abused. I would also say verbally abused, and also mentally abused for sure, and also yeah, some kind of sexual abuse was there. So, having the opportunity at the age of 23 to discover meditation was a game changer for me. It allowed me to start operating on a completely different level in terms of self-love, self-understanding, self-consciousness, self-awareness. And I would say, had I not found meditation, I don't know where I would be right now. But it wouldn't be a good place. It wouldn't be a good place. So that was the game changer for me and being able to heal some of the early childhood traumas. And I've gone on from there to build a seven-figure personal growth company that supports thousands of people every year. And so far already tens and thousands of people, maybe even 100,000 already, because I've been on this thing for the last 2.5 decades. So I've at least sat in front of more than 100,000 people and shared this message of humanity, of the power of the now, of opening your heart to understand that there is more to you than you've previously been told there is. And that is what meditation allowed me to discover.
So beautiful. Meditation was my kind of first tool as well of understanding we are separate from the thoughts. And I think that that is what completely changed everything for me, because that separation realized that being the observer realized that I wasn't them. And I had been so consumed by my thoughts, and I had been so consumed by all of these ideas and beliefs. And when I meditated, I realized that there was distance between them, which is what really changed so much for me. So I'm curious to know, for you with meditation, how has it been so transformative? Because I feel like a lot of people don't understand it. You know, they're like, how does meditation like change your life in that way? So very curious just to hear about your, like, maybe if you remember your first experience and like what seed that planted for you.
Sure. I'll never ever forget my first experience, because it was that powerful and that game changing, right? So I was divorced. I was I got married with 21, and divorced with, no, sorry, hold on. Yeah, actually, that's true. And got, yeah, so let's say on my round about my 21st birthday, I got married. And shortly before I was 22, I got divorced. Okay, so it was quite a, but the whole relationship had lasted for about 3 years. Yes. At that time, I was living in Zimbabwe with my Swiss husband, actually. And the relationship with him showed me how messed up I was. It showed me how broken I was. Like, I didn't know that I was broken. I did not think there was really, I was just an average girl trying her best. Yeah. But the relationship showed me some shadow aspects of myself, some crazy behaviors, which was, I talked about this abuse from my childhood. And usually, if you've been abused in your childhood, there is a tendency towards repeating the behavior that has happened to you in some way, form, or shape, right? So one of the things that, that I saw, that when I, was in the marriage, when I was really angry, I was going into rage, like I used to have happen to me with my parents, and then they would beat me with a stick or a belt or whatever. And and I didn't take a stick and a belt and beat my husband, but I would definitely strike out. Yeah, I would push, I would grab his hair, I would, I became very aggressive. Yeah, and this is something that I felt like I had no control over. Like, I just became this person, that just this horrible person that I didn't want to be. Right. And then I would feel dreadful about it afterwards and cry and feel very sorry. But, I just didn't feel that there was much I could do about it. So I don't know if there's anyone who's relating to this. So life took me to India. I was not seeking. I was not on a spiritual journey. I was not like, hey, let me try to fix myself. I literally just went there because somebody who had been to this ashram saw me and saw what kind of state I was in after the divorce, and said, "Hey, why don't you go? Why don't you go to this place where I've been? It has helped me a lot, and maybe it will help you a lot." So I literally just took a leap of faith and jumped on a plane and went to India. And while I was sitting there in my first ever meditation, the screen came down. The guru had already passed away, and people were just gathering around. There were like 1,000 people gathered in this hall. So I sat there with these 1,000 people. They were wearing white robes. It was, everyone was wearing white robes. I also had to buy a white robe in order to attend that meeting. And so I sat there with 1,000 people with white robes, and I thought, this is crazy. What am I doing here? These people look, this all looks a bit nuts, right? People were dancing and singing, playing guitars. People had long hair, long beards, people from all over the world, yeah, from Asia, from, not a lot of Africans, but I saw a couple of black people there. There were people from America and Europe, all over Europe, French, Italians, Spanish people. It was just like this group of people that had gathered from all over the world, sitting there in this big Buddha, what they call the Buddha Hall, sitting and celebrating life, meditating and listening to this teacher who had just a year ago passed away. So it was still fresh that they wanted to keep his legacy going. Well, anyway, the screen came down, big, huge screen, and this guy started talking. And everything he said, Aaron, just resonated into my soul. And I actually got goosebumps, and I got the hairs on the back of my head, just off my neck, just stood up. When I first heard him talking, it was a visceral, strong reaction to this person. And I was very surprised by that. And every word he said just went straight in, like butter that melts into toast. Okay. I didn't know how to meditate, but I saw people closing their eyes and I closed my eyes. And I went into this deep state of inner peace that I'd never experienced in my whole entire life on a conscious level. Maybe I'd experienced it as a young child because I believe that we're born with this. So I wasn't connecting to something new. I was reconnecting to the essence of who I was, right? So, and had forgotten about that aspect of myself. So that's what I feel meditation is. It's reconnecting you to the truth that that you are and have forgotten about. So you're not learning something new. So that happened to me in that first meditation. I was so deep in, Aaron, that when I opened my eyes, the hall that had previously had like 1,000 people sitting in it was empty. And I was sitting there by myself because I had become so deep into myself that I just sat there and sat there and sat there, and I lost the sense of time, space, and everything that was happening around me. I was so captured by this inner state of being. So that was it. That was my awakening. And I didn't know anybody at the ashram. I didn't know who to tell what had just happened to me. So I just went back to my hotel room and slept. I slept like a baby. I woke up, and the minute I woke up, I thought, oh my God, I need to see if I can still feel that feeling. And I just sat up in my bed and closed my eyes, and I still felt that stillness. And that was it. I sat there for 2 hours. I sat there for 2 hours, Erin, on the first morning after my, what I call my awakening. And I felt amazing. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I need to know what's going on with me. What is this? I didn't know what was happening. So then I spent 6 months with that in that ashram with the what I call the dead guru, and had an amazing time learning, transforming, growing. And then I moved to another place with another teacher that was live in his body, and I spent 5 years with him. So while people were, going to school or doing university, or I from the age of, 20 to up till the age of 27 was deep in meditation, almost most of the days. I traveled a bit around the world during that time. But that was what I did, and that's how I came to be this person that I am today, who is an advocate for people to get to know themselves on a much deeper level than anything what a school system can teach you. And from my personal experience, anything what even religion couldn't teach you. Because I was a Roman Catholic, my family was Roman Catholic, and I was not able to reach this depth of self-knowledge through that channel, right? So I'm just talking about my personal experience, and everyone has the right to feel differently about it, but that was what happened to me. And so I just want to spread the message that it's time for humanity to come together and learn how to love ourselves so that we can love each other and love the world from a very unique place where it's all about being present in the moment and giving yourself permission to understand you're also participating in what you're creating in your everyday life. So we're not just victims of circumstances.
Wow, what a beautiful, powerful experience that just was. Even listening to you, I could feel the truth in it within it.
Thank you.
Oh my God, wow, so amazing. I think it's so tragic in a way that this isn't taught in our school systems. Like, I just can't believe that I learned about like geometry and when we could have been learning about like how to come back to self, how to regulate our emotions, how to meditate. But I think we're going somewhere. I feel like it's really becoming so much more mainstream, which is a beautiful thing. A lot of people are like, oh, it's so mainstream now and like upset about it. But I'm like, it's wonderful that everyone is becoming open to having meditation in their life, or not everyone, but so many. Like, I have a lot of friends that have not been on the spiritual journey that are open to receiving readings or just asking me questions about meditation. And I'm like, this is wonderful.
Absolutely. I'm completely with on board with you. When I started this, 27 odd years ago, it was like I was speaking Chinese. Okay. lots of people are starting to learn Chinese right now, so it's not very
Really?
uncommon, right? But back then, it was a very uncommon thing to speak Chinese, right? That's why I gave that as an example.
Yeah.
So people were like, "What? What are you saying?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, inner peace, love, joy, it's possible." And they were like looking at me like I was mad. But now, there's 2.5 decades later and everybody gets it because it's just clear. We've evolved. We're evolving. And yoga sort of started disrupting that when it came crossed over from the east to the west. And I think yoga, the sort of yoga brand has kind of brought meditation and all of this more conscious work to a broader audience. But now meditation is taking on a life of its own, even outside of the yoga world, right? So yes to evolution, thank goodness.
Yeah, for sure. I also believe just even during COVID specifically, I know that it was just this huge kind of shadow period, and it still continues to be for the world. And we realized that the way things were going is not the way that they're supposed to be. I think even just with like the work and working remotely, like so many people's whole lives were completely shifted in this period. And now like that was like a forced awakening. And now people are curious, like, how can I navigate when I don't really know that sense of security? And it really is about turning inward and realizing that all the security is never going to come from something external. And I think that COVID specifically was a very big, like, showing of that collectively, that we always have to go within to feel that foundation, to have that sense of groundedness, in our experience, which I think it's in a way unfortunate that it had to be this way on a human sense. I think collectively, or like universally, there is no good or bad, but it's just really interesting to see how the world is shifting now, just with this time that we need to go within, because there was not much else to do otherwise. Like there was, you couldn't go anywhere, you couldn't run. So I just find it so interesting to watch how this is unfolding, and I actually am hopeful for how it is unfolding. I'm curious to hear about what you believe the trajectory is, and the role of people like us who are holding space for others, looking to help reconnect people to their inner truth and intuition. Because I think that a lot of people in this space think that they're here to like solve someone else's ish problems. But that's not the case at all. We're all the ones who have to, like, we have the keys to our own life, and we're the ones who have to empower ourselves. So I'm just curious to see what you believe the trajectory is, or what's unfolding.
That's really interesting question, Erin, because I'm not usually, let's say, into project, let's say trying to guess what I think where all this is going to, right? It's just not something I normally do, so I need to think about that. I would honestly say I have no freaking clue where all this is leading to. That would be my honest answer. Like, no idea, right? But what I do know is that people are going to need to change as individuals if we want to see massive change in the world. So that's what I know for sure, right? That we as an individual, we need to stop looking outside and being in victim mindset. And we need to learn what power do we have in influencing life on a day-to-day basis. Okay. I have been able to create my own reality within the COVID reality. Now, for some people, that might seem like, what is she saying? I mean, I feel like you can create your own reality within the reality of the whole. So there's not just the reality of the whole, and that's all there is. There's also your personal reality, which you're creating based on your belief systems, based on who you surround yourself with, based on what you choose to focus on, based on what you do on a day-to-day basis, right? So we are taking decisions that create our own reality. And I know that, for a lot of people, they're like, yeah, but so many people are suffering, and there's people dying, and there's people who've lost their jobs, and there's people, where that are in very bad situations right now because of COVID, right? And I don't want to deny any of that. And yet, we still need to think about the fact that we have free will, and that free will has a this is what I'm looking for, has a responsibility, right? It has a responsibility. So I have lived in the last year some of my most amazing moments of my entire life. I can say that. I can say that, and I don't need to apologize for that. I don't need to feel shame about that, because, of decisions that I've made, I've created extraordinary moments of ecstasy, bliss, joy, like things that I only could have dreamt of, I have created into reality during this time, during this past year. Yeah, it's my 50th birthday year. I already intended so many things for this year, and I've lived extraordinary, and will continue to live extraordinary moments because of all of the hard work, dedication, and love that I put into myself for my 40th birthday. Right, 40th birthday, I went into it feeling a little bit like I hadn't accomplished the things I wanted to accomplish. I let myself down. I wasn't really living the life of my dreams. And I'd let myself down because I'd stopped being coachable. I stopped having other people help me hack my system so I could keep growing and moving forward. So it was a conscious decision when I moved out of being 40 to say, I want a completely different experience at my 50th birthday. And Erin, I had to work my little tush off. Actually, it's not that little. It's an African tush, so it's rather large. Large and lovely.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I had to work hard, Doran. Sorry, Erin. I had to work hard to keep myself focused on what I said I wanted. Yes. And to continue saying yes to being the change that I wanted to see in my life, right? So I come from that school of understanding. We're not victims. We're participating in the experience. And what we do and how we, what we believe has a huge effect on the results that we're able to create, right? So if anyone's listening to this right now, feeling like you're in a place that you don't like, yeah, living a life that you're not so proud of, the first step towards moving forward from there is to understand that you've created that life, as opposed to feel like a victim. That it's the government's fault, it's your ex-boss's fault, it's your husband's fault, it's whoever's fault, right? So if we can stop blaming and start owning, that's when we can start transforming it. And this is literally what I do with the work that I'm doing. And people are blown away with what kind of results they are creating in a short amount of time of them understanding how to get back into their power. Yeah. How to take charge of their lives as opposed to feel like their life is out of control and they have no, control over the results that they're creating. So this is what I get to be a part of every day, Erin, is just supporting people to thrive instead of just survive. Supporting people to heal instead of feel like they're circling in the same mess day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, right? So to disrupt that pattern and start to feel like you're moving in a new direction.
Wow. Yeah, there was so much there. I just
There was a lot there. I
I like
agree.
I like I feel like I my whole body is just, feels the energy of the truth within it. And I feel like it's kind of reminding me of what you were saying, like when you got goosebumps and like the hair on the back of your neck stood up. Like there was so much truth that spoke directly to your soul, and I felt that so much. I think that it's so like it was all prompted by the fact that how you are present in every moment.
Yeah.
Because even when my whole question was about what do you see happening in the future, but you were like, it doesn't matter. This is the now. This is what can we do in this moment? Because this moment is what creates that. So how
Yes.
can we bring all the focus back to the here and now? Because that's where our power is. And it doesn't, and like, again, it's also letting go of the past and letting go of the stories we've told ourselves, or also like using them to help propel us forward instead of getting stuck in I'm a victim over my circumstances. There was so much you were saying in the beginning, how you thought that you like were the way you were and that was it. Like
Yes.
I'm just what I just I have rage and I can't help it. But the overall message is just really about like how that personal empowerment comes from taking responsibility for your life. And that can be a scary thing for people because I think that we're kind of trained to be like, oh, it's their fault. Oh, screw this guy. Like, he's the one who messed up my life. And I actually operated out of that space for a while of thinking, like, oh, my parents did this. So then I can't do this.
Yes.
So I'm really interested to hear about your work and your process of like what you do in terms of helping people get that power back or feel like they have power? What does your process when someone works with you look like?
Okay, so we have different entry points. Like one can do like a free challenge with us, right? So we do like 5-day challenges where we, for example, we've done a self-love challenge. We've done a meant for more challenge. And then if you like what you're experiencing, you can come on a 6 weeks masterclass with us, which has a climax of a 3-day immersive event. And obviously everything's happening online right now, right? And then from there, you could join us for like a 12-month process. So that's kind of how we engage people. Now, on the level of what is it that we're actually doing is giving people back. Okay, this is the sentence that my teacher taught me, and this is what I want to teach others: an inner peace, a love, and a joy that's not dependent on external circumstances, events, or people. So I'm going to repeat that because it's a pretty powerful sentence that has been, that's the purpose that drives my life forward. Yeah. To understand and to know and to connect to an inner peace, a love, and a joy that's not dependent on external circumstances, events, or people. So what that actually means is that inside of us, we are actually, we have everything we need right now, in this second, to feel inner peace, to feel love, and to feel joy. Unfortunately, we haven't been taught that those things which we seek externally, so we seek to feel, you know, peace with ourselves, but we seek to feel it by our relationships being good. Yeah. We seek joy from food or from the internet or from, you know, skydiving or from some external circumstances. Yeah. We seek love from our children, from our mom, from our parents, but we don't understand that we are love. So we don't need to look for love. We don't need to give it or receive it because our very nature is love. So what we help people to do is to reconnect to their essence. Yes. And that essence is I don't care what people call it. Like, I'm not attached to the label, because it's more than labeling something. You need to experience it, like I experienced in that first meditation. I experienced my mind becoming quiet. I experienced my heart opening. I experienced myself feeling safe, loved, and at peace. Nothing in my external environment had changed. I was still divorced. I was still lost and had no idea what I was going to do with the rest of my life. So the external environment was the same. But internally, I had connected to something more than just the thoughts in my head. I connected to my soul. I call it the soul. I call it your spirit. And that part of you came into this world with nothing and is going to leave with nothing. Your soul is going to continue its journey. We don't know how much time we have, Erin, right? We could have, you know, some souls come into this world for one day. Some souls come in for 3-4 years. Some souls come in for 105 years, right? Some souls come in for 50 years. So you do not know how much time you have. And every single minute of that time is precious, right? So I believe that we have to live the most fulfillment out of each of these precious moments that you don't know how much you have of. You want to come back to your essence and realize that the body is just a container for your soul. So you're not your body. You're not your mind. You're not your job. You're not your relationships. You're the soul having a human experience. So once you start to understand that, you start to be able to look at the world from a completely different point of view. And that's what we do. That's what we help people to shift into seeing themselves not as their name, their story, their possessions, their illness, their the amount of money they have or don't have. None of that is who you truly are. And so once you can start to understand that, you can start operating in the area of health, wealth, beautiful relationships, completely different, Erin. And that's what creates the magic, right? So if I can just explain it one step further, if I say, when you come back to your essence and you come back to who you truly are, you realize that you are love and not looking for love. And now I can be really present with people and I don't feel needy. I'm not expecting stuff from them, which they can't give, because some people can only give what they can give. So I'm not going to be that disrupted around the level of love I'm getting or not getting, because I'm able to generate enough love inside of myself where any amount of love I get is a bonus. It's like, yes, this is wonderful. This person likes me. Awesome. Yeah, this person is feeling comfortable with me right now. Great. But I don't need that validation because I feel comfortable with myself. I feel comfortable in my own skin. I love myself. So I can start operating those relationships in a whole new dimension. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. It makes like the most sense. Yeah, it's so truly beautiful. And like, again, I feel like you're just the embodiment of that love, because as soon as I tapped into this, it just like I was connected to my heart immediately.
Thank
I'm
you.
just thinking about like, where does fear come into this? Because I just know people might be listening, and even myself, there's like a part of me that like, I have known I'm a soul having a human experience, and whenever I get fearful, I feel like there's this disconnection between that. Like I forget it. Is there ever a time where you forget it, or has it been just this constant practice where you keep returning back to it so you don't really get into that fearful mode? Or is it What does it look like for you? Is it an ebb and flow, or are you always continuously feeling that sense of love?
I would say that because okay, so I never stopped being human, not even for a second. Like, and human means the full range of emotions and emotions, right? So at the end of the day, yes, we are a soul having a human experience, and the humanness is part of that whole. So think of the human part of us like the wave inside of the ocean, right? And the ocean is the soul part of us, right? So the ocean is a trillion times more powerful than the wave, right? But if you identify with the wave, you separate yourself from the power of being the ocean, right? So I see, we cannot fix ourselves, okay? Humans have a range of emotions. We feel sad, we feel happy, we feel angry, we feel jealous, we feel all of those things. But what does start to happen, the more you connect with your soul, the less you feel of these, let's say, the less energy you give to, this is more precise, the less energy you give to the negative emotions. So if I get scared, I can manage my fear because I understand that the same place joy comes from, fear comes from. So it's not like fear is coming from some other source, right? Everything comes from the same source, whether it's fear, happiness, light, darkness. If you go return back to the source where everything comes from and disappears back to, this is where it becomes really interesting. This is where you can start creating some distance between yourself and those thoughts, right? And those emotions. So I know that fear for me is a thought that reoccurs and reoccurs, reoccurs, right? So if I go into some, let's say, future story, you know, am I going to be able to, you know, pivot to online with my business, right? Am I going to be able to pivot online? Oh my, am I going to be able to pivot? Am I going to be like, and then I just keep thinking that thought, right? How do I remedy that? Okay. First of all, by learning how to quiet my mind so I can literally train the monkey, which is what meditation does, to be quiet. Like, this is not helping me. Like, I'm in this precise moment. Am I willing to do what it takes to pivot online? That's all. Am I willing to do, like, okay, what are the steps? I don't know what the steps are. Let's say that could be the answer that I have. Okay, I'm going to get a coach. I'm going to get someone to help me. And then they're going to give me the steps. I'm going to execute on the steps. And it's that simple. I'll just keep on doing what I can do in this moment to know that I'm securing my future, right? So then I don't need to be afraid, because if I'm in action from a place of love, this is a combination that gives you joy every day, right? So now, instead of focused on being fearful of lack, I'm focused on being in action and feeling joy, because I know that I'm doing good for myself, right? Every day I'm taking action to understand the online pivot, right? And so I get to continue serving people. I get to continue doing what I love. I'm continuously learning, and there's nothing to be afraid of, right? So yes, fear still arises inside of me, but I have tools, and that is what I teach people, strategies, tools to understand that you're not that fear, you're not that thought. So even giving all of that energy to that fear and to that thought is a complete waste of time. So let's redirect that energy that you would put over there to the fear and to the self-doubts and to the, you know, fear. Let's take that, because it's useful energy. Let's transmute it and now put it into loving action to do the things in the here and now that bring you forward.
100%. I always, I guess not always, but for a really big part of my journey, I had kind of rejected that humanness. And I was like, oh, like, anytime I feel fear, like, that's wrong. You know, I would like start a battle with myself over what was coming up, instead of just letting it, like, watching it come up and realizing, like, oh, I'm a human and this is going to happen. But, like, where is my power in this moment? What can I do in, like, in this moment right now? Because fear always comes up when I'm trying to think like 20 steps ahead. You know, I'm like, oh, what's going to happen in like 5 months? You know, like, no, we have no idea. I don't know what's going to happen in 2 hours.
Exactly. So, we don't even know if we're going to be in our body, Erin. I mean, that's the truth that nobody wants to face. You don't even know if you're going to be in your body. There's no fucking security, right? And so when you wake up to that truth, and it is a truth, it is a universal truth. At this precise moment, they have not figured out how to take your soul out of your body and put it into another body so you can be sure that you're still going to be around tomorrow, right? They haven't cloned, you know, they'll build a clone of you and then just transfer your soul into that cloned version of yourself, right? I mean, right now, what we know is that when it's our time, we're leaving the body, right? So to worry about some future thing that may or may not happen is a complete and utter waste of time. And the sooner that you realize it and switch your energy, the better. And that's really the practice, the daily practice, to switch the energy, to recognize when, I call it an ego hijack, yeah? On our campus, that's the term we use. Ego hijack takes you out of the moment and into some past or future story. And what you need to do when that's happening is sometimes you ride the wave, right? You ride the wave like, fuck, I'm angry. I'm angry. I'm angry at this guy. How could he do this? How could she do that? And then you ask yourself at some point, how long am I going to stay with this story? Like, my precious life is tick-tocking away here. How much time do I want to be angry with Bill? I mean, like, do I really have time to be angry with Bill for much longer than I've already invested in it, right? So then it becomes a conscious choice to just say, I'm letting it go. It's not even worth it. Yeah. If this would be the last day I have to breathe, is that really the last thing I want to be busy with, right? So this question of really honoring that we don't know. We're living in an adventure. It's a mystery, right? We have no clue what's going to happen next. We have no clue how this is all going to unfold. And that's the truth. So each day that you wake up, I say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm still in this body. I have another day to play. To have deep, intimate joy with myself and others, to explore what it means to be human, yeah, to share, to give my whole heart to what I'm doing right now, right? To live, essentially, to live in totality. So I think that's where we should focus our energies to just get to that place where we can be those type of people in the world, right? That bring more lightness to where you are because you're vibrating your true essence of love and oneness consciousness, right? So that's what my mission is, to just to light up as many souls as possible so that there's more light and love in the world just through people saying, you know what? Screw it. I can't control what's going on out there, but I can take control of what's happening inside of myself. And I'm willing to do that work.
Yes, just yes. And you definitely are accomplishing that goal because I feel so like lit up being in your presence. So you definitely have accomplished that just in this conversation alone. So
Thank you so much, Erin.
I just know so many people are going to resonate with these words because I just feel them like complete truth into my soul. And I just know the truth in it. It's just so important to keep connecting back to that. Is there any like one piece of advice or one habit or tool you would recommend for anyone who's maybe just starting out, like an easy way to kind of get into that present moment?
Absolutely, meditation. And whatever you think about meditation, forget about it. Forget about it. Like, if let's say if you've had a funny experience with meditation, like you sat down one day and you sort of your mind told you, I can't meditate. I need you to forget that experience, just like it never happened, because the past doesn't need to define our now, and definitely does not need to define our future. There are so many misconceptions around meditation. So I want to say, like, we can burn the word right now. We can just, put the word on a piece of paper, rip it up, put it in a basket, and put a bonfire and just burn it. Like, who cares? What, let's talk about the essence of what it is. It is the ability to feel comfortable in your own skin. It is the willingness to listen to yourself, to know thyself, to know what you're feeling, to know what you're thinking, to know what you want, to know what you're capable of. It is self-empowerment. It is being grounded. It is ability to be focused. It is tapping into an energy that is limitless, limitless energy that you can plug into, like you put an, like a hairdryer, you put it into the socket and it gets electricity. Meditation is the art of tapping into universal energy that can fill you up and from the inside so that you're able to operate from your overflow. Meditation is bringing joy to every day of your existence, even on shadow days. being able to let go, because you understand what's happening here. You understand who you are and you understand your role in the whole, right? Most of us are acting as if we have time. That's the one thing that meditation teaches you. You do not. You have this moment and it is precious. Yes. So, you know, I think that when we, you know, have these words like meditation that bring people to debate or discuss about it from a headspace, of course, then the truth of what it is gets lost. But if you can think of, you know, imagine that we had a tool that we could all agree on that could help us connect in a more loving and conscious way. That would be what meditation offers. Yes, because it gives us the possibility to be in our humanity, to be in our heart, to be in stillness and light. So for anyone who's like, oh my God, this all sounds amazing, then I'm going to give you a gift right now, which is my 21-day meditation challenge. It is easy to do because we're talking about 10, 12 minutes a day max. Okay. And I will start to plant, let's say, water the seeds that are already in your heart for self-empowerment doing these meditations, right? It's effortless. All you need to do is be able to press play and stay for, you know, 10, 12 minutes and do it day one and then do it again on day two. And as the time goes on and you can go through that 21-day meditation challenge, something magical is going to take place, a deeper understanding of self. So that's a gift that I would love to offer, you know, the people that may need something like that. And so, yeah, that would be something I could contribute to anyone listening who's like, this meditation thing sounds amazing, but I need a new, you know, I want to try it. Then this could be that possibility. And it's free. It's, you know, you could just go to, shall I tell them where to get it, love? Or
yes, because I'm going to do it.
Okay, great. Go to the mahimamindset.com. Yeah, so Mahima is like mama with a hi in between. So M-A-H-I, Mahima. So it's the mahimamindset.com. And there you can just go and put in your details and we will send you the 21-day challenge, meditation challenge. You can do it on your own. And even for advanced meditation people, they have said that they got more out of this challenge, even though it's only for 12 minutes, because I go straight into the point. I've been hacking meditation, that's actually my genius, for 2.5 decades. So I figured out how people can get the most out of a little bit of time. I use stillness is a very big part of what I do. So there's no music, right? Because music is distracting. It's like, oh, you hear music. And no, stillness is to the soul what water is to the body. Think about that for a second. Stillness, quietness, silence is to the soul what water is to the body. Without water, you're dead. Yeah. Our soul, our spirit needs stillness. And so giving it little doses of stillness in these meditations that I'm going to give you guys is going to be a game changer for your nervous system, for your mental well-being, for your emotional well-being. It will change the game on those levels for sure.
Yeah, I can definitely feel that. I'm going to for sure put the information in the show notes as well so they can just go
put okay.
the link. And I'm going to go to it after this conversation because I definitely have been looking for ways to connect through meditation. I usually have a consistent practice, but it's been a very been very on and off recently. So I just have again gotten to my own consistent meditation. So I'm excited to do this 21-day challenge.
That's awesome. Me too. I do my own meditations. I practice what I preach. I love doing my meditations. They're even listening to the guided meditation. I'll go each morning and I'll listen to one of my meditations, and I'm like, this is some good stuff.
That's how you know, because we often are our own worst critics. So if you're listening to it's just gotta be amazing.
I am listening to it and thinking, oh my God, this is so good. Okay. And trust me, I'm very critical.
Yeah.
So I have that self-critic voice. But when it comes to meditations, I'm literally downloading from source energy. So it's coming through me. I'm not going to take a huge amount of credit for it. It's
Right.
just I get out of the way and allow soul, spirit, love, joy to speak through me. So I'm as touched as anyone else from what comes out. And I believe we all have this level of wisdom, right? If we can just get out of the way, something magical is there inside of us that needs space, needs a voice, needs a place to play, right? So meditation is literally just the unleashing of your full potential onto the world. It's such an incredible tool. It really is. I can't over state the difference that it's going to make for people, because it means that everywhere you go, you can come back to center. That's what it teaches you. You can be sitting in the boardroom feeling frustrated. When you start learning meditation, you know the tool how to come back to your center in that moment. Right? So it's not just something you do when you're up walking in the forest and having a nice walk on the trail with your dog. Meditation can be used when you learn how to use it any place, any moment, anywhere. You can choose to come back to center.
Yeah, what a
Yeah.
beautiful realization. It's truly life-changing.
Yes. Erin, this has been amazing. What a joy to, as I said, to meet a young lady like yourself. I'm so happy that there are more young people that have the level of consciousness and love and commitment to the world being a better place through our shift in consciousness. Thank you so much for doing the work that you do. As I said before, I don't know if you know how special that is.
Thank you so much. Just for anyone, if they want to connect with you, is where else can they find you?
I'm on Instagram, and there it's under Mahima Mindset. So you drop the Mahima Mindset, and then you can also like me on Facebook, and there you would need to go to the Mahima Mindset on Facebook, and you could like us there. And it once you but the best thing is to go to this website, get the mahimamindset.com, get the 21-day meditation challenge, and then you'll be with us in our tribe, and we can invite you to challenges and cool stuff that we're doing all the time. And just you could be a part of this growing community and tribe of conscious thought leaders that are like, hey, let's become the change. Yes, let's stop complaining about how screwed up the world is, and let's actually be the change. Yeah. One thing we didn't get a chance to speak about is, purpose. So from listening and getting in touch with your soul, you start to live more purposefully. And that's when you start to untap, like, oh, what's my genius? What's the talent that I want people to know me for? Right? Most of us feel like we don't have the right to earn money from our true talents. So we usually start to, do other stuff to earn the money, while our talent is more like a hobby or side gig. And I'm very much into helping people figure out, how to make their passion their purpose and their paycheck. So that's something that is a conversation that I'm very much into, because it is something that I've had to learn along the way, because I became super clear at a young age that I do not want to go to do the normal life that the society had laid out for me. Like, you get married, Yeah, I mean, I'd already done marriage, and I was like very skeptical about it, so I wasn't about to run into it again, right? But still, I was like, oh, you know, kids and men and blah 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 and job, and I managed to rearrange my thoughts so completely in that time that I spent in India that I built this completely different life that even my family is looking at and still cannot believe. How did she do that? Simply by changing my belief systems. Yeah, I believed I could. Yes, I believed freedom was important. So instead of going for a job, I went for my passion. Yeah. And how did I make money for my passion? I just kept saying yes in the moment to my passion. I knew what it was, and I just kept saying yes. Yes, I'm going to follow this passion, and I'm going to let this passion lead me to abundance. And it takes courage, but if you have a tribe of people around you that can support you to that, you can go faster on that journey.
Yeah, what a beautiful, beautiful message. I know how true it is, and I'm experiencing it in my own life as well. So I just thank you so much for bringing all of this wonderful wisdom. And like, this is such a beautiful conversation. I'm so grateful.
Me too, Aaron. I can't wait for us to maybe talk again at some point in the future, because I, you know, to revisit and see where we both are as time progresses. But thank you so much for this time, and I have just absolutely loved it, and having the opportunity to talk to the amazing tribe that you have created because of your dedication to showing up to the work. So thank you for giving me this opportunity.
It is my pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining me for today's guest episode with Mahima. If you resonated, I hope you'll share it with a friend, and I'll catch you on the next one.